All right, there we go. Now, one thing I had done just right before this call was I tried putting everything, all of the survey questions that Tara had and Jackie had into a Google Doc, so that we could maybe all edit them at the same time and not have some of the issues we were having with the Google Groups. I've never used Google Docs before, so I don't know how easy it is. Do you guys want me to go ahead and email you the link I have, or?
Worth a whirl.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, all right. Let me find an old email and hit reply all. I will leave the RAB members out at this point. Just so we get everything going. Jackie, Lee, me, and Tara. All right.
Oh, make sure you send it to capital, not theslawson.org, because it'll take forever to go through.
Oh. Let me look and see what it was.
Oh, never mind. I got it.
Okay, good.
Never mind. It went through.
Slawson@me.com.
Yeah, that one worked. It's just for some reason slawson.org just takes forever.
All right, so that should be the link. I don't know if you need to sign up or if I need to give you access or how that works. Do you guys see anything on that page?
Yeah, it tells me I do not have access to this document.
All right, so now I need to figure out how to give you access.
Well, it says I can request access. I don't know if that's what I need to do.
Yeah, no, hold on. Yeah, it told me the same thing, or request access to this document.
Yeah, go ahead and hit request access, and then I will.
I think the request is being sent to you.
Yeah, that's what it says on mine, too.
All right. To give this user access, click the above link and add them as a collaborator or a viewer. All right, that takes me to the page.
Sorry, by the way, I'm not trying to be rude. I didn't get a chance to eat lunch, so if anyone hears chewing, I'm sorry. I'm trying not to chew into the phone.
All right, so Jackie, I think I just added you. Can you access it now?
Let's try.
It might be sending you an email invitation.
Yeah, right now it won't let me. I'll have to wait to see if I get an email. Sometimes my email.
Oh, I have shared something. Oh, hey, here we go. It likes me.
All right, Tara, I'm trying you now.
Lee, did you get another email or did you just click on
it
again?
Yeah, I got a, hold on, let me see what it says. But yeah, it was from McGowan, Research Cluster Survey Questions. But yeah, it was
a separate
email.
For some reason, I'm noticing it added Research Cluster 09. And Tara right away. I don't know why it didn't add Jackie right away. Jackie, let me go back to yours.
If I don't have an email yet.
And see. All right, now you should have access. And I have like 8 copies of the page open.
Why I'm still not haven't gotten an email.
Can you try accessing the page now and seeing if it will give you access?
Yes, now I can actually see it.
Okay. So I literally just copied and pasted things in here, so you'll see that there are some copy and paste issues. I think at some point in Tara's there's even an email. I can delete that. there's part of an email. So we'll have to do some cleanup, but I thought this might, based on some of our conversations last time, I thought this might be an easier way to edit something. And I think it allows us all to edit it at the same time.
My first Google Docs experiment. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. We'll see how this goes, how we can handle all of this newfangled technology. All right. So there we go. I think we are set. Hopefully, does everybody else have access to Tara and Lee?
Yeah. I'm still waiting for the email to come. We got a really cheap new email system that takes forever to do anything and freezes the computer all the time. But it was cheap, and that's what mattered. So
I was actually able just to click on that first invitation Hurley got and got that before I even got my email. So you can try clicking on that again and see if it brings it up right. I don't know if it'll work for you, but somehow it worked for me.
No, it did work for me, too. Yeah.
Okay.
So we all are on the page. So where do you guys want to start?
We should probably pick some topics. I don't think we need 30 because we're not going to have 30 questions as part of our study. So maybe we should pick maybe 10 or 15 to focus on. Randy had already recommended some that we should get rid of.
Right, some of the more controversial ones.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that his? And then Felicity had given some that she really liked.
Although I thought they were contradictory. I thought some of the ones Randy said we should get rid of were ones Felicity liked.
Well, that's why, I mean, I don't know how many of you saw the email I sent out this morning, because if we weren't going to have any RAB here, I was like, I need your opinion on this. Because I didn't know if we should have, you know, I've seen questions phrased way, like, you know, like Tara has the question, you know, I would choose Coke versus the way kind of I phrase it, you know, which side do you prefer? And I didn't know if it made a difference of which way we phrased it. And so the responses I got, it seemed like they kind of liked the not putting the, you know, one direction in it. But the question is for Randy, I didn't hear back from him at all in response to that. But I was sort of wondering, would that change some of the questions he thought were more controversial? If you didn't, like, pick a side in the problem, does that make sense?
I don't know. That's a good. It makes sense. I'm not sure if it would. So instead of specifying I am pro-life,
you know,
you
like
specify.
Whole, yeah, it's like actually having the spectrum where they can put where they fall, kind of thing. Like I don't
know
if that makes it less controversial. I don't have experience with doing stuff in Likert scale to really know if, you know, the way you phrase it can make it more or less.
His argument was, it sounded like no matter what, he thought we should steer clear of those.
Okay.
He thought the marijuana legalization one, the abortion, religion.
Yeah, I think I would vote for getting rid of the abortion one. Just,
okay.
Yeah, just because I teach at a religious school, and that would be, I think that would be a...
Oh yeah,
a touchy subject with my students. So, I mean, they're not highly religious or anything, but I don't know. I can just see where that would be a
flat out asking
students that question.
Yeah, you might actually have some policies on board that you probably don't want to find yourself up against.
Yeah.
All right, well, I just went through and deleted that one. I figured we have the copy that Tara emailed out, so if we ever change our mind, we can add something back in. So I just deleted the abortion one off of the page.
Okay.
So then I guess I'm still confused. And I saw Felicity's response, and I don't know as I understood it. So I guess I would add, she says I would ask it without the provoker, since the goal is simply to determine where they fall on the spectrum. So then was she saying more of Jackie's wording, where it just says when it comes to comparing Coke and Pepsi, what's your opinion, versus the I choose Coke? Is that, do you think that's what she was saying?
Yes, I think that's what she was saying.
Okay.
I'm wondering, she said, though, we should ask the way that I wrote them for the second survey. I was thinking actually opposite of that. I was thinking give them a strong statement in this one, see how they respond, and then in the second one it would be more where do you fall.
That's kind of what I was imagining too, because I thought the purpose of the first survey was simply to see are we on task or kind of on beat with what we imagine to be strong and what we imagine to be neutral. Does that match what our students think? That's what I thought
the
first one was. And then the second one was when we find out which way they go.
That was my impression too.
I wonder if she's confusing the purposes of these surveys. If she thinks that we're piloting the final, trying to like pilot the actual research instrument.
Well, I guess maybe I was probably the only person on the same possible basis listening. So I guess I thought, I mean, I was thinking like, you know, doing my opinion survey to begin with, it was just kind of, okay, do they prefer Coke or Pepsi? Not so much, like I wanted to know also the direction attached to them, not just if they felt strongly about something.
I guess I was thinking, like, in the Pepsi versus Coke debate, I choose Coke. If they were strongly for Coke, they would do agree. If they were Pepsi, then they would be strongly disagree. So I thought we would get that information anyway. I mean, I can see both sides of the argument.
Well, like for that one, I just kind of felt like it's similar, but the kind of the reason I asked about the whole provoker thing is, like, sometimes once you choose one, people suddenly have a much stronger opinion than if you wouldn't have given them a choice, already chosen, if that makes any sense.
So you thinking that maybe with the provoker it's more leading?
Yeah.
But in the questions that we include in our study, we're going to have a choice, right? I mean, the study is going to say that based on whatever
the
sample.
Yeah, the actual sampling part, like when we'll actually have them make a decision.
I'm not sure I follow that. When you mean actual choice, in what way?
And I guess I thought, you know, when we actually do the questions later, we'll say, you know, in a study we found that people prefer Coke to Pepsi. Like they will actually come out and say something like that when we're actually doing the sampling part of things.
So wouldn't we want the survey to see how strong their opinion is when they're given a summary, like a statement like that? Like, I choose Coke. That's my conclusion. How strongly are you for or against it? Whereas when we do the second survey, wouldn't we want to see where they fall on the spectrum and do questions more like the one at the top of the page?
I guess I was thinking opposite.
You were thinking opposite.
They kind of felt like the other ones, you know, if we find out that people prefer Coke to Pepsi, have them rate how much they agree with that statement and then have them explain why, where the sampling part would possibly hopefully be part of their explanation. Whereas, like, I thought the opinion survey wouldn't need an explanation. It was just sort of their opinion, preconceived ideas before they even walk in the door.
Yeah, I don't think the opinion survey needs an explanation. And I think when it comes down to doing the actual research, we'll definitely want to know which way they lean more strongly. So we'll be giving them questions more of how you worded them here about, you know, instead of from strongly agree to strongly disagree, it's, you know, strongly prefer Coke to strongly prefer Pepsi. But I thought with this initial instrument, like what we were going to be piloting in the next few weeks to days, was really just to see do they have any strong opinion or not.
So not necessarily what we would actually use when we actually did the full experiment from beginning to the end.
Yes. I thought it was really just do you have a strong opinion on this or not? So that we would know, are these the types of things we want to find studies for? And then, so we use this survey, and I even think on this survey we maybe could include a lot of different things. Maybe we take out some of the ones which we think might be really controversial, might be sticking points for an IRB at this point. But we include a bunch of things, and we just go through and see, do they have a strong opinion or not? And then we use this as the list that we're going to pull topics from later. And we develop two things for later research. One is a survey that then gives them the full spectrum of opinion. So instead of just agree, disagree, it's which one of these do you prefer? Where do you fall in the spectrum? And then we'll have survey examples where, you know, in the Coke versus Pepsi thing, we can have a simple random sample, you know, of a survey that says we found that people preferred Coke. And then we could have one that's a simple random sample that says we found people preferred Pepsi. And then we could have them that were biased samples where we found that they preferred Coke and one where we found that they preferred Pepsi, and look to see, is there some sort of interaction between their preference and the sampling method? So the people who prefer Coke, do they say this is a good survey regardless of this, whether the sampling method was good or not? So I kind of imagine, yeah, I guess I kind of imagine it in like three stages like that, where this first stage right now, we're really just trying to see, do they actually have a strong opinion of Coke versus Pepsi, or do they really not care? You know, we're thinking this is going to be a strong opinion, or are they just like, yeah, whatever, I don't care about that topic, or that topic is neutral, more neutral than where we think. Does that make sense?
I'm writing notes to myself, so I'll say them out loud and we'll see if they agree with what you're saying.
That's a good idea. And while Jackie's writing notes, does everyone see the edits I just made to Tara's question? I basically just went through and got rid of the scale so we could just see all the questions in kind of a more condensed format.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And we, because I think with Tara's, the way Tara's questions were, they're all asked on the same scale, the strongly disagree to the strongly agree.
So for each one, there's only three choices?
No,
it was a 7-point scale, which I actually like. So for those people, it's actually an 8-point scale because there is a 0 in there. I'll add the scale back in just at the top.
Well, the 0 was the I am completely unfamiliar with this topic to the point where I can't make any sort of decision. Because
we had talked. The reason I want to make sure that I have this down right is because I'm going to be the recorder, so making sure we're in agreement of what we're thinking, what we're saying. So right now the main goal is just to find out how strong they feel about certain topics so we feel perfectly fine in provoking them because we're not going to do anything later with them. The goal for later would actually to be when we do the opinion survey to begin with. We don't want to provoke them too bad and provoke them more later when they're actually asked to question the sampling method. Does that sound at all correct, Herla, to what you said?
I'm sorry. Can you say that one more time? I was just having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, it's fine. It's just that right now we want to do ones just to assess if they have a strong opinion. So provoking them isn't really a bad thing since we're not going to use their data for later parts. But later we'll actually want to do is the opinion survey with not really a provoker, similar to like my first questions. And then later when we're actually asking them to question sampling methods or not, that's where we'll have whether or not they need to like justify based upon their decision they made.
Yes. I think that sounds at least like what I was trying to communicate.
Okay.
Does everybody agree that that is kind of a good thing or a good goal for this?
I mean, it does to me just because now I understand the difference in the way Tara and I were thinking. I was already thinking of, you know, in the semester-long class what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And she was thinking the here and now, we just need to find out how strong they feel. And so I think that would possibly is the difference in our thinking and why we came up with the different questions phrased the way we did.
Yeah.
So how do Lee and Tara feel?
I like this. I think this will get at what we're trying to do. So.
Yeah, my thinking was in line with what you just said.
Okay. So I'm sorry that I was probably the one in actual confusion world, but now I understand.
Yeah. Well, then, should we go through Tara's list and strike any that we're afraid would kill an IRB application? Like, I already got rid of the abortion one. Are there other ones we want to pull out of here? Like, do we want to pull out the drug legalization or anything along those lines?
That one we got conflicting feedback on. Felicity said she really liked it. Randy said it shouldn't be there.
Wait, which one?
The marijuana and other drugs should be legalized, number two.
Hmm. See, I don't.
I think my problem with that one would just be and other. Like, I think if we chose a specific one, it'd be easier, first of all, one to measure, because I guess I might agree with marijuana, but not necessarily the other part of that thing.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who agree with
marijuana, I think,
but
like
not.
The less touchy one,
yeah.
Personally.
That's the one Randy specifically mentioned, though. I lost the email.
Well, I mean, we have enough on this list that if, you know.
Well,
you know what?
What if we change it? I noticed Felicity said that she specifically calls it medical marijuana. So what if instead of saying marijuana should be legalized in the United States, we say marijuana should be legalized for medicinal purposes?
Oh, that gives it a little bit more. I like that.
That's probably less controversial.
But I still think people have a range of opinions.
Oh, yeah. But it would probably be looked upon more kindly by the IRB.
Yeah.
Ah, Firefox has just stopped working. That's annoying. All right, so I have no idea if the changes I've made were saved.
We should probably go through. I was keeping track of what topics I covered at the end of each question. So we probably should go through and delete all those, too. Like, after the first one, I have the Coke/Pepsi. I was just keeping track of what I had done.
Right.
I don't think we need those in the actual survey.
Yeah, I agree with you. They might be like,
I had a note on number 5. Just,
mm-hmm.
They might, I don't know, this just might be a thing, because you mentioned healthcare reform specifically. Their feelings about politics versus healthcare reform, that might, I don't know, just giving them an example, they might feel differently, because healthcare reform is such a current thing. They might feel differently about healthcare reform right now than they do about, they might not follow politics closely, but they might have strong feelings about healthcare reform.
So
that makes sense. So I don't know if we should nix it or necessarily maybe not, or maybe write a statement about healthcare reform only.
Yeah, I feel like we should probably be more specific because there are, you know, like there's some political issues that, yeah, I follow closely and others I have no clue of what's going on.
Yeah. So either make it a general statement about politics or just make it two separate ones. Somehow those two things, I think, need to be either separated or we pick one or the other.
So we could do I follow politics closely, be done with it, and then if we want, we can have another one that says I have strong feelings about current political issues such as healthcare reform, and maybe we could add in, like, immigration or something, like both of those, which are pretty...
Yeah, I mean, you could either just, yeah, say, you know, I support the healthcare reform bill, and leave it at that, or... I mean, that's going to be kind of a time-sensitive one, so by the time we get into... That's my only concern with that, is that by the time we get into fall semester, that may not be as timely.
We can deal with that later.
Okay. Immigration is more of a ongoing problem, so that...
Such as immigration and... Should we add immigration and war, which are the two hot buttons? Because it's not asking which way they feel one way or the other. It's just asking if they have strong feelings about the topic. about topics such as the...
Yeah, well, it's just in the earlier ones, you know, we pick one of them and say, you know, I choose Mac. So, I mean, some of these we pick one side or the other.
Like you could say, you know, like, I believe that immigration something or something.
Yeah, I believe...
Yeah, I'm not big on. I'm not following politics closely. I had a hard time on
rights or something like that.
Say that again.
I don't follow well enough either. But like, isn't it a lot about immigrant rights?
Yeah, whether we should be providing health care and such to illegal immigrants, whether they have the same rights once they're here, or you know, the same access to health care, education, those sorts of things. Because essentially taxpayers pay for that, but...
In a sense, like, I believe that illegal immigrants should be treated as true U.S. citizens or something like that. I don't know how to phrase it to not be too political either.
Let's see if I can come up with a... Give me a minute. Maybe I can come up with something on that.
That's a good phrase.
Well, I mean, there's also, you could write something about, some people believe there should be a wall built along the border to Mexico. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I've heard it. Looking at some of the other ones, while Lee's trying to look up something there. As a stupid comment, possibly, on number 14, there's only one word in that whole thing that bothers me, and that's the still. I don't know if anyone would disagree that the economy wasn't in poor shape earlier, but the still, I feel like, implies something, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I think
we could probably just delete that and then just have the economy of the United States is in poor shape.
And we feel like the still, I mean, it makes in my own mind thinking, like, you know, it's like in a sense exactly as it was. But in my mind, you know, it could still be a little bit better, but still be in poor shape. And so I don't know how other students would interpret that.
Yeah.
They would interpret it correctly.
I think with 15, similarly to how we broke up the politics healthcare reform one, I wonder if we should either pick schools or athletic events or break these up into two separate questions.
Randy said we should get rid of that completely. He said we shouldn't have anything about religion.
We can do that too.
That was one of the ones he said we should get rid of.
Wait, which one was about religion?
Number 15. I feel strongly about religion and its place in schools.
But again, you would probably have issues with your school.
Well, actually, I think, you know, what would be interesting is that I would probably have more, what do you call it? Brain has stopped working. I would probably have more strong feelings on that than neutral feelings at my school than
mm-hmm.
you guys would. So that, it would be kind of interesting that, you know, what we do with that would be, I don't know what we do with that because my population would be a little bit different than you guys, I think.
Did Randy say anything about why any of the ones should be?
He said he didn't think they'd get through the IRB without multiple revisions.
I think we'd probably get through my IRB, but it might not get through yours since you are at state-funded, all of you are at state-funded schools, right?
Yeah. Well,
my IRB is just that guy, like I said, so I don't think he's really going to care.
Everything I've sent to mine so far has been exempt. So,
well, I wonder if we could include them for one cycle, see if they go through, and if the IRB balks, we just say, all right, we'll take them off. And that way we're not going through multiple revisions. Because I think once you do a revised thing, I think it gets dealt with more quickly once it's already in their system and you're doing a revision. So I don't think we would lose too much time, but I'm really not sure. That's at least one option we have is we can either be conservative at the outset or we can leave them in, see if they go through, and just delete them if the IRB balks.
Well, I mean, I guess some of the ones, you know, Randy said I sort of understand, like, you know, the idea about abortion, that's definitely going to spark, I think, in my mind, a bigger concern than about religion, and maybe that's just a personal idea in my head, but I mean, if we just had it as I feel strongly about religion's place in schools versus that you actually had to feel strongly about religion in the first place.
Well, could you just even say I feel strongly about religion and just leave it at that?
Maybe about the place of religion in my life or something along those lines? Would that be better? Or is that making it too personal?
Well, then I guess I liked what Tara had done with making it kind of more specific, because people seem to have a opinion about what should and shouldn't be done in school.
Yeah. That's true, and that's actually why I think we should break it up, because I think there could be a difference in opinions between, like, a public school and an athletic event or something like that, you know, an athletic event where you're paying to go see it, versus a public school where you have no choice but to go through school. You might, I don't know if you would, but you might see a difference in opinion there.
Do you want it, like, I feel strongly about religion's place in public schools? Because, I mean, if people are thinking private, then...
Oh, no.
Did Firefox just crash on you?
I don't use Firefox because it tried to take over my computer. It was nasty. It made all of my email stop working and everything. But Google Groups just shut down my Internet Explorer and everything else. So maybe it's not Firefox. Maybe it's Google Docs or whatever we were in.
Yeah.
I was trying to renumber.
Yeah, I was wondering what happened there, because there's, like, numbers all over the place in my copy of it. There's, you know.
Yeah, the joy of automatically bulleted lists.
And when I was trying to get it to number every other line, 1, 2, 3, which you wouldn't think would be hard to do, but it froze when I tried to do it. So you can actually see numbers?
Yes.
Oh. I got, like, 2 sets of numbers.
Yeah.
I've got numbers all over the place.
I got nothing.
There's hard-coded numbers, and then I think there's the automatic numbers. Is what I think it's doing. And I wonder if we should just make it all single line, because I think it's having a problem with the space in between.
Well, yes, I've got numbers with nothing. Like, it automatically
it's
numbered.
It's numbering the spaces.
It's numbering the spaces, yeah.
Yeah, I would just go ahead and make them all on the same line if it will let you.
Okay, now I can see again. So just single space it. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do right now. Did I just delete an entire question though?
I will start from the bottom and work up. You think that will mess it up if we're both doing it?
I don't know. We'll find out in a minute, I think.
You might find out what happens when you're trying to edit the same thing at the same time.
I know. Let's see how well this works in practice. It sounds good in theory. I wonder if that's why our browsers have crashed sometimes, though. All right. So are there questions, like actual substantive questions? What do we think we should do about this the religious one in terms of the actual wording of the question?
We can make it 2.
Yeah, that doesn't mean we probably should just focus on one thing at a time.
So you break it up into separate questions or just ask one of them? What do you think, Jackie? What were you thinking?
I mean, I would say we could probably do both because, you know, just in case maybe one of them actually does invoke strong feelings and the other one doesn't, we at least know which one does.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, okay. When we actually do it, make sure that, you know, they're not right after each other probably, but. Huh.
All right, so I just added one that says, I feel strongly about religion's place at athletic events. Right now, they're right next to each other, but we can, I think, fix that fairly easily.
Whoa.
What just happened?
I just undid everything that I had done at the bottom. That's so weird.
Oh, no, I clicked save. I wonder if that's why.
It's too funny.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wonder how that works if you're editing at the same time and you both want to save changes. Can it not handle that?
Apparently not.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Okay, it only takes a couple minutes.
Yeah. All right, are there any other question wordings that anyone had flagged?
What was Randy's? Does anybody remember Randy's last one? There were three things he had listed. I guess we did them all. It was abortion, the marijuana, and the religion. For the luggage one, we had that under a topic that we didn't think they would feel strongly about, but
you're right.
It keeps undoing it. I don't understand what it's doing. Sorry.
I was reading that thinking that they might actually have strong opinions about that.
That's what I was thinking because of the way that I wrote it. I'm thinking it may not be so neutral.
Well, I guess when I originally put that as one of the topics, I was thinking about, you know, if we were trying to estimate the average weight of bags on a plane, who really is going to care kind of thing. Like, I, you know, read questions in textbooks that you're trying to estimate the average weight of science textbooks, and it's like, who really cares kind of thing.
Yeah, I see what you're getting at. So is there a way to tweak the wording of the question? Because I think the way it is worded now, simply because it deals with money, it probably will evoke stronger opinions. I don't think it'll necessarily be neutral. So I wonder if there is a way to make it neutral or to add one that would sound more neutral. What about just simply, so the idea of estimating the weight would have something to do with, like, the maximum weight a plane could carry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if we said something about, like, I know the maximum weight that such and such a plane could carry, a medium-sized passenger jet or something along those lines.
Yeah,
kind of like.
Get at it.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I think that would kind of get at it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a wording that's kind of like number 30 on the new numbered list. I'm familiar with general information about the area which I live, so just say something like, I'm familiar with the amount of luggage that it's safe for a plane to carry. Something along those lines.
Probably should do something like that with 28, too, because that was another one that we had on our
estimating
list for neutral.
Yeah. It's an interesting statement about the wording of questions, right? How the wording of questions can influence, say, an answer. All right. Textbooks are too heavy to carry. I'll try and tackle the luggage one first.
No, we had discussed whether or not we needed to even have those topics on this first survey. Maybe the problem is that we just don't need to have them on.
It's like, do we worry about the ones that are so neutral right now? If the goal is just to find out how strong they really feel about things we think they feel strong about.
But do we want to, I think we should still try and confirm that they are neutral. Because otherwise we have a huge confounding issue. If we say we're assuming that X, Y, Z are neutral and they're really not, that's going to undercut what we're trying to estimate or what we're trying to explore. And I think we're seeing here that you can take a neutral topic and you can word it in a way that would maybe elicit a stronger opinion. So I think we should try and test some that are really neutral just to say we could confirm that it is.
Or, like, for the life cycle of insects, we had talked about including questions about that because it would be topics they were unfamiliar with. So putting it on this survey verifies that they are, in fact, unfamiliar with the topic.
Yeah.
So something, the same idea.
I think that's still something that's valuable. I think it's valuable to verify both the strong and the neutral or the unfamiliar. I'm going to click save. Let's see if anyone loses anything. Did that just undo any changes?
Nope.
So I added a new one. It's now number 30. I'm familiar with the amount of luggage in pounds that can be carried by a small passenger jet.
Well, they know what we mean by small passenger jet.
I'm not really sure, but I do feel like we have to specify some type of aircraft because otherwise there's so many different, like, I'm totally open to suggestions on how to make that better or whether we should say maybe we just say a jumbo jet. Do people have a better idea of what they think a jumbo jet is?
Could we give an example of what a small passenger jet would be?
We could. I'm not even really sure I have an example in mind. Like, what do we consider small? I always think of it in terms of how many seats there are. Like, the planes that are 2 and 2, that's small in my mind. 2 and 2 or 2 and 3 is small. When you start to get 3, 4, 3, then I'm thinking jumbo or something like that. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to give them some frame of reference. Because otherwise I'm afraid we'll get the question about, well, what type of plane do you mean?
Well, from what I'm seeing, it seems like it says that small passenger jets seat between 70 and 120 people, if that's helpful.
That works. I'll just put that in. So I'll just say seating between 70 and... And then do we want to come up with something that's more neutral for number 28, the textbooks one?
I think for that one, we almost kind of like the I feel strongly about kind of idea. I mean, I guess I really care about if they have a strong opinion versus I think they're familiar with how much textbooks weigh. So I don't think the I am familiar part is going to be useful for that. But have an idea of, like, I feel strongly about how much textbooks weigh in all the disciplines or something like that. I don't know.
Well, I think the current wording would bring out a strong opinion if one were there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm wondering if there's actually a way to make it more neutral. Because again, if you're just talking about an estimation,
could it be something as stupid as I feel strongly about the weight of textbooks?
The weight of Texas?
Textbooks.
Sorry, heard Texas.
How Texas say?
I was like, wait a minute, what?
That would would be to just see if they were paying attention in the survey.
We don't need them both. I mean, our original list had just basic measurement, and it had examples such as the weights of luggage, the weights of textbooks, so we probably don't need them both.
Yeah, so maybe we could just even leave that one in there. The texts are too heavy and not worry about a neutral option or a neutral version.
Why not? What's one more question to see if they have strong opinions?
I'm sorry,
what's the question that's being proposed?
28.
Yeah, we were thinking about, is there a way, the way that 28's worded right now, I think it would elicit something of a strong opinion. I don't know how strong, but I think something of a strong opinion, whereas estimating the weight of textbooks was thought to be a neutral.
So we're trying to get a neutral question out of this, not a strong opinion question, because I was going to propose, you know, if we say ask something about textbooks cost too much, we'll definitely get a strong opinion on that as a separate question.
Or there's a relationship between the weight of a textbook and
how much
they cost.
Yeah. But we're looking for a neutral question is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what we were wondering. But then Tara was pointing out that we kind of have the idea of an estimation of something neutral represented with question 30.
The weight luggage. Okay.
Yeah. So do we also need a neutral textbook version?
Well, we've got the insects. I mean, what are the other ones that we think are going to be? We just want to make sure we have enough that we think are going to be neutral so that in case we're wrong about a few of them.
I think, let's see, 27.
Yeah, the insects.
30. 31, 32. 33.
Some of those, though, I would expect more of the response of I have no knowledge about it versus neutral.
That's true.
Because those are two different responses that we have options for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the scale.
Which ones do you think will be no number 27, number 31?
Are we sure we want to... Yeah, I'm just afraid that... Yeah, now that you said that, that we're going to get students who... We're not going to be able to discern between neutral and I'm not familiar with this. Not familiar with this topic. So we're going to get a lot of, if they don't care, they're just, I'm not really familiar with this. And I don't know. I'm a little afraid of that. But I guess we won't know until we give it to them.
Well, in our minds, would neutral and I am not familiar with this topic, would we rate them the same in our minds? That's a question I think I need to know from us.
I wouldn't.
In terms of our research question, though, would they really act functionally differently? If they're neutral or if they're not familiar, is it going to obscure their ability to judge or to assess the quality of the sampling method? Is that what you're asking, Jackie?
Uh-huh. Yep.
I kind of see your point now. Well, you know, one thing we could do, not that students ever read instructions, but we could put instructions that say, if you're not familiar with a topic, circle the neutral rating. If we think that they're going to have the same functionality on how the student will evaluate the quality of the sampling methods, then maybe we don't need to distinguish between them.
But shouldn't we have in our study one that we know that they have no knowledge of the topic and then one that they feel neutral about, one that they feel strongly about?
I don't know how you're going to guarantee that no student have any knowledge about a particular subject.
You're not, but I think you could establish that, you know, a great proportion have no knowledge of this topic. I don't think we'll see anything unanimous on any of these.
And I just kind of even thinking about students, a lot of times they don't like to admit that they don't know about something either. They'll pretend they do.
Yeah.
Well, we could leave it, and I mean, we can just kind of leave it for now and then see what happens.
Because I was just thinking, if that's how we felt, you know, we can always leave the I am not familiar with this topic as an own option, but for when we're actually using it for purposes, if we consider it almost the same as a four in our mind,
yeah,
they can have the separate distinction on their, you know, their survey when they're taking it. But for us, we might later make the connection that those are the same thing, and it might be better to leave them as two separate ones right now so we can see, are they the same thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that can hurt. We can always just combine them later.
Yeah.
One thing I actually just thought of with the wording of 30 and 31, we may actually not get at the neutral thing here, because saying I am familiar with this information, people are going to want to say, if they are familiar, even if they don't have a strong opinion, they'll put strongly agree. For 30
I agree.
And 31.
I can think of a way to write a question. So, because we're in four different areas.
Yeah, I know. When I first read it, I liked that. But now that I'm looking at it again, I'm thinking we're not actually going to be getting at what we want to get at. All right, so how retarded would this be? I feel strongly about the amount of luggage that can be carried by a passenger jet. I mean...
Yeah, that's a really strange statement. I'm not sure students are going to understand what you mean.
I know, that's what I'm thinking, too.
You're going to be like, what? Seriously, it's a lot harder to come up with neutral opinion questions than you would think.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, it's like we know what they are, but how to ask it in an opinion survey is a little bit harder.
Yeah. Here's the other thing I'm thinking is I'm wondering if we should do a different scale. I'm going to try posting a different scale up there and seeing what you guys think. So I'll post this under... Right, it's not. Okay, there we go. I can't see the cursor on the page, which is really annoying. I can type, but I can't see the cursor. So I don't know where I'm typing until it starts coming out. Can you all see my typos as I'm going through? All right, so
can
I'm
you
trying
save?
Very hard to get this in. But like I said, I'm kind of typing blind here.
This might sound stupid, but we just change it to I know the amount of luggage. Is that not saying the same thing as familiar, or is it saying the same thing?
I think it would be a step better.
Yeah, I think we'll just end up with a lot of people who say I'm not familiar, you know, that end up.
And that was sort of our goal with that one, though.
Yeah. But then the people that do...
Are you thinking for the whole survey, or are you just thinking for those last few?
No, I'm actually thinking for the whole survey, but we can talk about that. And we need to play with the scale. I want to still get some numbers that are kind of in between the different options. I actually really like that, because I think there's always people who feel like they fall in a gray area. I'm always one of them. I always look at a survey going, I don't fit into one of these seven categories, so... allow them some room for in between. But my idea is, I wonder if this will help us get more directly at strong opinion or not. in a way, because again, even if we were to say, I know this, they can say strongly agree or strongly disagree, where they really feel neutrally about it. They don't think it has any bearing on their life. And what we can do in this case is, if we use a scale that's a little more general, we can change the way the statements are worded. So instead of saying something like, in the Coke versus Pepsi debate, I choose Coke, you can just put lists of topics about soft drink preference. I feel strongly about this topic. I don't. Medicinal marijuana. So we might be able to take some of those statements, which might have seemed controversial, and we just list it to a, or we just reduce it to kind of a list of topics. So, for example, I'm going to put something in parentheses after number one. I'm going to put square brackets. Not that I can see where I'm typing, which is really annoying. All right, so what I just typed in number one, and we still have to play with the scale at top. I didn't finish working on that because I got tired of the spacing. But what I have between the square brackets is what I would imagine students seeing on their paper.
Can you save it so we can see?
Huh?
Can you save it so we can see?
Oh, yeah, I thought I did.
Thank you.
Not coming through. You got it now? Okay, good. So what's between the square brackets is what I would imagine in place of the statement. So just, you know, and we'll have some instructions that say for each of the following topics, rate, you know, provide your rating on this scale. For each of the list of topics, provide your rating on this scale. So instead of asking them on this survey to pick, do they strongly agree the Coke versus Pepsi, we just have a topic. Strong preference and or soft drinks. That's supposed to say soft drink preference, not soft preference. Sorry. Is that one word or two? Soft drink preference. And then the neutral topics, instead of having to come up with a statement, we just list them. The weight of luggage on airplanes.
We would have to, for number one, we'd have to specifically say Coke versus Pepsi, I think, because when I see soft drink preference, I feel very strongly. I only drink Dr. Pepper. I don't drink any other soft drinks. So I would say I have a strong opinion on the topic, but if you gave me a Coke versus Pepsi question, I could care less. I don't drink Coke or Pepsi, so I'd be neutral on that.
So
or I have no opinion.
So you think the thing in the parentheses, the E.G, wouldn't be enough? I wonder if we could just say Coke versus Pepsi.
I would do, if we only want Coke versus Pepsi, I would do Coke versus Pepsi.
Yeah, I think we could. That would work.
But I do know we talked last time, and I'm hoping that I'm remembering this correctly, that we could possibly, you know, have two different scales if we needed to, like, and have the neutral questions that, or what we thought was neutral questions have a different scale, as long as we, in a sense, separated them from.
Yeah, that could work, too.
That way, I mean, I don't know which one's better or anything, and I think this is where, you know, talking to our RAB, when they do have time to look at this and give their opinions on things, I think would be useful, too. Because, I mean, I do remember the mention, because I kind of said to myself, you know, how do you write a neutral question that you're provoking them with? I mean, how do you do that? So the big kind of talk that you might be able to have two separate sets of scales as long as you make the distinction of when they're changing. So I don't know if that would be a possible way for us to go, too, and how you all feel about that, having two different scales.
Yeah, I think that could work. What I've started to do is, the funny thing is, it's probably going kind of back to Tara's initial, just like, topics, but putting in brackets, like if we were to just do a short topic list, what would it be?
So for four, it would be the performance of boys versus girls in math.
Yeah, I'm thinking mathematical abilities. So one thing we could do is we could circulate this link to the IRB, and we can just explain what the difference between the statement is and then what's in brackets and the two different scales. I don't know if there's an easier way to lay it out for them, if we should just have two separate lists rather than the two things together, and just ask them what they think the better approach would be.
So you meant the RAB, right?
Yeah, what did I say?
I think IRB, but I just wasn't sure.
Yes, I'm sorry. No, the RAB as opposed to the IRB.
Well, I'm like, I don't think the IRB would follow this.
No, you're right about that. No, I meant Randy and Felicity and Holly Lynn. I meant them. And I think maybe putting it in separate lists would make it easier and say this is the, that might make it more clear thinking, saying this was the scale we had with this list and this was the scale we had with that list. And what I'm kind of imagining, I'm going to go back to trying to fix the scale.
Do we need any other demographic questions? I couldn't remember what they said last time. They said age group. They said college. Were there any? Does anybody remember? Was there anything else that they had listed?
I had school, gender, age, and college.
Gender. That's what I forgot.
Which, of course, we need for the whole, you know, men, boys are better at math than girls. Obviously, I think we need that there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't remember what the other one was. I didn't write it down.
One thing I was thinking about age was that it might be better just to have them report their age rather than categorizing it. Because what I'm afraid is that we're going to have so many people in the 18 to 25 category that this variable may not give us much information.
Can we do that? Does anybody know on SurveyMonkey? Can we do that where they just put in a number?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Especially, you know, you can even enter in text, so numbers will be relatively easy.
I was wondering, how are we going to try, like we said we're going to offer our students extra credit for this. How are we going to know which students did it? Are you going to assign a number that they have to put in? So that when we get a list of the numbers, then we know who to give extra credit to? Or how are you going to know that they actually did it to get extra credit?
I don't know how SurveyMonkey works either. I mean, I guess I was originally thinking I could have my students print it out and turn it in, but I wasn't sure if they, like some sort of proof that they did it, like the final page or something like that. Is there a final page when you do SurveyMonkey that says, like, you've completed the survey?
A lot of times it just takes you to the SurveyMonkey homepage.
Okay. I didn't know how that works.
I've done things like this before, and I'm trying to remember what I've done. I think there's a way you can get, because I've done, like, midterm feedback, and I think there's a way you can have it give you just the names of the people that completed it, but it's disjoint from the list. So I think you can have SurveyMonkey tell you who did it, but they keep the responses themselves anonymous.
So we can have them put in their first and last names, but we just don't get that information. Do you think our students will believe us if we tell them it's anonymous when it's asking them for their names?
Well, we'll get the names, but we won't know what, say, you know, Susie Smith said.
Right.
We'll know that Susie Smith completed it, but we won't know which set of answers are hers. And that's something, I mean, if it says it can do that on the SurveyMonkey page, they might be willing to trust SurveyMonkey more than they'd be willing to trust us.
Do you know, will it split out the data based on, will it give us overall results and then results from each college? Will it do all that for us?
That is a good question. I really can't remember. But that's something we should be able to find out relatively easily by, you know, just getting into SurveyMonkey for a minute and looking around.
Just in case no one else knows the time, it is after 3. Does anyone have to go?
Oh, yeah. I'll have to go eventually. We have a job candidate in today that I'm supposed to meet with at 4:30, and I'm really hoping we're done before that. You all are, too. Um, All right, so here's one issue. With the free SurveyMonkey, you can only allow 10. You can only allow 10 questions, but I think some of those questions can have, like, if they're on the same scale, I think we could put more than 10 statements.
Well, do you know anything about, Holly, Lynn said that you had something at NC State that you could use for surveys. Do you know anything about that?
She sent me the link, and I have not had a chance to look at it yet. So that is something that I could look into over the next few days. I can also look at SurveyMonkey. I'm noticing it says something about, like, validate, require survey responses. I wonder if that's some sort of, like, you have to fill this out, like, to get credit for completing it, but it'll disconnect the names, like what I was trying to describe before. Sorry, my brain has now stopped working. One of the things that I really like, too, is it will also randomize the order of the questions, which I just like as a kind of backup that we're not, like someone brought up before, we probably don't want those two questions next to each other. So I like the idea of just randomizing them all when the students take them, but it doesn't, since it's all computerized, we don't have to worry about trying to map data entry or anything like that.
Then do you know if we'll have to be careful if we use the two different scales?
I think what would happen is those would go in as separate questions, and then it would randomize within the question.
Do you use Angel by any chance, or do you use Blackboard? Or
I do not.
I was thinking, because we have a tool that all of our classes have access to. It's Angel. It's what we use for distance learning, but all of our courses have shells, and we can make surveys in those, and it does all the summarizing results and everything. And it's the same thing. It will randomize the questions, and I'm thinking that might be easier if we all had tools like that. But
I don't use anything like that for my particular We have something in-house that we use as, like, a course management tool. It might have that capability. I've just never had occasion to use it so far.
Your list went away.
All right, so here's what I did. I'm making it two separate lists. So you should see at the bottom of the page now, there is another list where I'm going to just do the bracketed version because I think that'll just make it more clear. But I'm going to match the questions to what they were before. That's something that I can do when we're offline, too, since that's fairly straightforward, and then I can just send it to you guys for approval. Or if anyone has any ideas, you could kind of do the same thing that I'm doing here.
Jackie, you have your questions in Google Groups, right?
Uh-huh.
So should we take those off so we don't confuse the REB for right now?
Probably can.
And just give them the two options?
Yeah.
Are you typing right now, Harla?
No, I'm not doing anything right now.
I'm afraid to do anything that's going to...
I know. This whole simultaneous edit thing is a little better in theory than in practice, I think.
So yeah. The demographic questions will be in both surveys, right? Either option?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes. And then I wonder if there should be something about college major in here. Because I kind of wonder, I don't know. I remember Felicity saying something about asking them what college they attend. And I know... at some place like State, within NC State University, there are a bunch of colleges that the different majors kind of line up with. So, like, statistics is in the College of Physical and Mathematical Sciences. Something like sociology is in the College of the Humanities and the Social Sciences. There's all these crazy acronyms about, like, what department you're in and which college you're a part of. So I wonder if we should add a line in there about major. Like, what have you declared a major? What is your major? Something along those lines.
And so we have that just be fill in, since right now I think our part of our idea is trying to even get an idea of what the majors are. And I think, like, if we did the whole colleges, like a place like, you know, NC State, you have a lot more different colleges than we do.
Yeah.
For us, you know, math is in College of Arts and Sciences, along with psychology, along with so many other things that I think if you just find out College of Arts and Sciences, that's going to tell you very little about my people.
Yeah, so I wonder.
Because maybe if we do, in a sense, have them fill it in this time, we might have an idea of how to categorize it for the actual survey if we want to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Have we lost Lee to the Vandy game?
Huh? No. I'm
still here. I said it very quiet, and I realized that Vanderbilt also has started playing. So.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have
but
my ESPN webpage open. I haven't looked at it that much, but
I might be just watching the score.
Right.
Out of the corner of my eye.
Oh, that's
anyway,
funny.
I'm paying attention.
So, quiet. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to try and figure out where we needed to go from here. Ugh. So I think what we should do is I will try sometime between today and tomorrow to finish editing the second list, so going from a list of statements to a list of topics. And then I will send that to you guys. And then we can, if we're all agreed on that, we can send it out to the RAB and ask them what their opinion is, which approach they think we should take, or if we should take some sort of hybrid approach where questions, say, 1 through 25, for example, are asked with the first scale, and then questions 25 through 30 are asked with the second scale, something along those lines, you know. So we'll get their opinion on that, and then once we have their opinion, we can all go ahead and submit these to our IRBs and know when we'll be able to ask them. How does that sound to everyone as far as where we're moving forward from this call?
Are we each submitting them to our individual IRBs for this one? Holly Lynn or Felicity, one of them had suggested that we just put it through one university with all of our names for the survey.
Right. I remember that now.
Well, I do know with mine, no matter what, if there are other universities, I'm supposed to put something in there about them. And then, like, I need somehow, like, their approval of using their data or something like that.
So you think that it wouldn't be just enough for you to be listed on someone else's. You would also need to have your own.
I'm afraid I might. But, again, I've been exempt from everything that I've filled out so far. So if I'm exempt, they're not going to care.
I'd like to be on somebody else's, just to cover my butt, because I don't really trust the guy. I don't even know what his position is or what he does, so.
Just to be safe.
Yeah, I know. I know he reports to the president, and I know I get letters from him telling me I have to give surveys in my class, but other than that, I'm not really sure. So I'd like to make sure I'm safe and be on somebody else's.
Did we just lose someone, or are we trying to have someone else coming on the line?
I have no idea.
Hello?
I'm still here.
Hello?
Hello.
I know Jean didn't say anything to me about a problem with the line this week. I know she said next week there's another call at 4. All right, let's just go ahead and each do, I think maybe the safe thing is everybody does an individual one at their, well, everybody does something at their own institution and mentions the other people. Okay. And I think then we would be covered.
Okay.
Okay.
So try to get that done before next week.
Sorry, Jackie's back. My phone fell to the floor and hung up on you.
Oh, sweetie.
Oh, that's what it was. We were trying to figure out.
We heard a beep beep, and we're like, what the heck is going on?
So sorry, I'm back now.
So what was the last thing you heard?
We were talking about sending things to the IRB.
Okay. And what I just suggested was that everybody send something to their own IRB that includes the names and institutions of the other people. So we'll have four applications that talk about all four of us and we'll be covered,
okay.
I think. And this is, again, maybe something that we can run past we should prepare a list of questions for the RAB people. So far what I'm thinking we should ask the RAB people after this is which version, making notes myself, which version of the survey and the scale, or some combination of them. Should we include the controversial topics the first time out and see if they pass, or should we just delete them and be conservative? We can poll their opinions on that again. And then should all four of us submit an IRB application that includes all four of us? Or is that overkill? So those would be kind of the three big lingering things that we've talked about in this call that I might want to get their opinion on before we proceed. What do you guys think?
Can you say the meetings? I only heard two.
Okay. The first one I said was which version of the survey to go with. The second one I said was going back to that issue of the controversial topics. Should we include them the first time and see if they pass, or should we delete them just to be safe? And then the third thing was the IRB. Do all of us submit an application at each of our institutions?
So I just pulled up my IRB thing, and it says that I have to, where does it say it? They want my other researchers. And it says if you're working with data that are not anonymous, I need to list everybody else.
How would you work with somebody who's anonymous?
No, if I'm working with data that are not anonymous, like if you know what students filled out what.
Oh, I thought you said if you're working with people who are not anonymous.
We need to know their names. We'll just pretend we don't know each other anymore.
Well, the hard thing is that online, like I had to do this whole city training, and I don't know if any of you had to do it. And it wants to know if you've completed it or not.
If you completed what?
The CITI training. Like in order for me to even do
it. Is it like an ethics and research thing, a human subject?
Yeah. Like a human
I had to do something like that at the University of Michigan when I was doing projects as an RA out there. I don't know if state has something like that, because right now everything I've been doing for the class has been under an existing IRB. So I'll just, I think at worst, I'll just have to amend that. And the course coordinator should have no problem doing that, because he's the one who set up the IRB in the first place. I think between now and next week, I think we've got a bunch of stuff we can handle possibly via email. And then, I don't know if we need to meet next week or need to have a conference call next week explicitly. Because I'm thinking everything we can take care of, we can take care of via email. And then once we get our IRB approval, we could either touch base at some point after that, because I'm sure that will take at least a week. Or else we just touch base after we've actually administered the surveys.
Oh, the other thing, if we're not going to meet, the other thing we need to do then is we need to investigate the survey tools to make sure that if we do SurveyMonkey, we can ask all of our questions and that it will separate the data for us based on our institutions. Because if it won't, then we'll need to investigate some other tool to use to administer a survey.
Well, wouldn't it at least list the different institutions? In a sense, if you got an Excel document, we could sort by it.
Say that again?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm used to never having anything done nicely for me. So as long as I have a variable that has, you know, college that they go to, I can do a statistics by something in, like, StatCrunch or Minitab or something like
but
that.
But does it do that? Because my understanding was that it just gives you the summary. Like, you do you get the raw data? Does anybody know?
I've never used it. So, I mean, I kind of assumed that I would somehow get, like, a spreadsheet of all the data.
You might not with the free version of SurveyMonkey.
Yeah, my impression was with the free version, it just gives you the results. It doesn't give you all the individual. That's why if it doesn't separate it out by college, it's not going to be that useful to us.
Well, then it becomes one of those questions, why are we even asking the demographic questions if we can't find them out?
Well, it will. I'm not sure what it'll do is sort the other questions based on an answer to a demographic question. So we should. It will tell you, and it will link it for each person. We will know for, you know, participant I what school they're from, all their demographic information, and what each of their ratings are. But I don't know if it'll sort the ratings by demographic variable so that we could go through and look at our own students separately or how the list would be organized. I don't know if you can sort, but I do remember there being some sort of like there's clicking back and forth. So it may not tell you that this is Susie's answer, but it'll tell you for this person who answered this question, you know, who said a rating of 6, you can click on that, and it'll show you what all of that person's other ratings are. So I know it links the data that way. I don't know if it would necessarily, like, sort or link the data by school so that you would see all the ratings for everyone from your school. That's something we can look into. I have a SurveyMonkey account. I have to remember my login information, or I just have to go ahead and create a new one. I'll also look into the NCSU one and see what's available there because I think since we're doing one survey, if I can administer it on a web link, as long as the students don't need to have Wolfware access. Wolfware is like our security system.
Well, because I mean, if worse comes to worse, and you all can tell me if you agree or disagree with this, could we do hard copy surveys?
Yeah, we could.
Yeah.
It's just extra work because it's data entry.
Yeah. Well, I prefer to put the extra work there, but less extra work in trying to figure out how to get SurveyMonkey to do what you want it to.
Yeah. But I've played with it enough before. I don't think it'll be that hard. It's just a question of getting back in and trying to remember.
Okay.
So we'll take a look at that.
Should we add that to the list of questions to even maybe ask the RAB and see if they're familiar with being able to report by demographics in SurveyMonkey?
Yeah, we can ask them because I think some of them said. And Holly Lynn may know off the top of her head what our survey tool at State here can do.
Okay.
All right, cool. So we...
I don't think... I got a survey thing of email from Holly Lynn asking me to do a survey because she had shared some of her modules with me that she had done as part of her research, and I was able to fill out the survey. I didn't have to have any special access.
Well, that's good, because then I think we could just all host it at one site and and not have to worry about where the students are coming from. All right, well, I'll keep working on this list. I have a little bit of time now, so I might be able to email you guys before, say, 5 o'clock today, and tell you that the list is ready for you to look at. And then we can type up an email to send to the RAB people. So I'll try and get back in touch with you guys somewhere between, like, try and get back with you either between today and tomorrow, basically. I should be able to do it between today and tomorrow, I think.
Okay.
we're not going to have a conference call then next week. Are we wanting to set up a time already for the next one to make sure that we don't have an issue with, you know, getting the time and trying to fit things in our schedules later, or do we want to wait?
Should we include that as a question for the REB, too, to make sure that we have at least one of them there next month?
I know. It's kind of hard without them.
Yeah, maybe we can come up like, with a couple of options and see if at least one of them could be there during one of those times.
I like that idea a lot. Do you think we need a call? The one lingering question I have, though, is do you think we need a call before we know whether or not we have IRB approval on these?
And I guess who's all worried about sending their stuff to IRB, though, too? Now, I've only done it once. I mean, I have enough people here to be able to kind of, you know, help me figure out how to do things if I get stuck. But do you all feel like you also have support to help you get through the IRB process that need to go through it anyway?
I did one at OSU, and I think the Capital one's easier. So I think I'll be all right.
I think I'll be all right, too.
I can gladly send you all questions, you know, if I have them as I'm doing it, or even kind of send you, you know, here's the form I filled out. Would you mind looking it over and make sure kind of thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I know, like, on our IRB form, I ask us how we're going to recruit students, and they want, like, a copy of the exact email that you're going to send them or the exact announcement you're going to make in class kind of stuff. And I don't know how particular the rest of your guys are, so I don't know if you all need something like that, too.
I need to give that to him. I mean, I've gone through the IRB process before at a different college. I've not gone through anything at the community college. But he wants the exact questions we're asking, exactly what we're going to say to the students, stuff like that. That's what he asked me for. So I was just going to send him a memo with everything attached.
Well, yeah, we will need to figure out exactly how we're going to present this to the students. So... I mean, once we have the survey, are we going to, like, a little script is what my advisor always said, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is that stuff that we feel comfortable with emailing back and forth, or do we feel like we need to talk about it?
Hyman thinks emailing might work. Might depend on how quickly we might notice right away if there's a huge volume of emails, if we need to schedule a call.
And then we can always try a last minute one too, since Jean's been able to be pretty nice to us so far.
Well, we already have next week scheduled, right?
Yes, we do.
So if we decide we need it, we can just, and if we don't use it, it will be sitting there. So we can decide next Wednesday, like we did yesterday, if we want to meet or not, right?
Yeah, we can totally do that.
And so we'll even tell our RAB members that we have this as a possible time, if hopefully any of you can join us if we decide to have it.
Yeah.
But do we want to go ahead and set up another time just in case we don't do that one, or do we want to wait?
We can choose a couple dates in April. And then we can ask them if any of them work for them.
That worked for me. Mm-hmm. And my April calendar.
All right. So tentatively, let's see. So what day is it? Oh, it's the 18th. All right.
Do we want to stick to the Tuesday, Thursday time frame?
That seems to work reasonably well for me, Thursday at this time anyway.
I was thinking the Tuesday at the later time was when we had more success with the RAB members being able to attend.
And that was?
That was Tuesday. I think we had met originally Tuesday at 4:30 earlier this semester. Or at 4. I don't have my calendar with me, but.
4:30. We did it at 4:30 before.
We had to shift it to 4:30 because I had a conflict. And depending on the day, I mean, that was kind of a one-time conflict. So depending on the day, I could do four to five, which may be more attractive to people.
So that would work for me, generally.
Yeah, that generally works for me as well.
It works for me except for the 6th. The 6th, I have another meeting on Tuesday.
The 6th is bad for me, too.
Well, the 6th is a special webinar anyway.
Oh, that's right. Earlier, though.
Although, it's a 2, so that doesn't really matter. But just FYI.
So should we try, like, the 13th?
What's going on, then? So...
13th okay. Works for me.
Good. Lord, there's a lot on that day. Okay.
One of our options for the RAB. What do we want to try for the other?
What time do we want to do on the 13th? The 4 o'clock?
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
So 4 o'clock on the 13th.
Or would that Thursday be your option, and we can find out if Tuesdays or Thursdays work better for them?
That, like the 15th, that Thursday would not be good for me because I got to go to Ohio MAA. The previous Thursday might be okay. The 8th.
How about for Tara or Herla?
Right now, the 8th would work for me, too.
I can do the 8th earlier. I can't do it the 4 to 5 time frame.
So define earlier.
As long as I'm done by 4:30. I'm good.
We tried, at 3 on that Thursday?
Yeah.
And we can see which option works better for them.
Yeah, that would work.
All right, so my last question. So if we do decide to have a phone conference call on the 25th, would it make sense to go ahead and leave our roles the same since Herla already organized that and everything, and I know I don't have that many recorder notes to do since most of it's on Google Groups or as the Google Doc, and I don't mind doing the recording again for that. And then do we want to rotate for the following one?
Sure. Since I did a bang-up job moderating.
That works for me.
Yeah, we're filing me for moderating. Okay, just making sure, if we do have the 25th, I don't think that would be a horribly long conversation if we need to have it.
Yeah.
I'm good with whatever you guys decide.
Okay. Of course, I'm asking because then I'm the one in charge of organizing it next. That's why I'm asking.
Who's sending out the email to the REB for this one once we get everything finalized? Synthesizer. I mean, I can do it, or if somebody else feels strongly that they want to do it, it doesn't matter.
I think Herla's.
Herla, you can do it?
I can do it.
Okay.
I actually did, as long as we are on the line, so while we were chatting just now, I went ahead and was editing the list to go from statements to just topics. You guys can kind of look at that and let me know what you think. I do have a specific question about statement number 9, which says young people tend to text and or talk on their cell phones while driving. So we want it to be a statement about, would the topic be driving habits of young people, or would the topic be like texting? What do you think would be a good short topic there?
Cell phone usage while driving?
I was going to say just texting while driving, yeah.
Yeah. Cell phone usage includes both, right?
Yeah.
That was in my way of trying to get them both.
I may have just, if you were trying to type something, I may have just typed over you.
I just learned to not really do that much typing, so I figured Herla and Tara on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even, I'm just.
Just logic. All right, so that's kind of what I have as a list of, topics. The other one I didn't really edit actually that much is number 14 because I wasn't sure how to abbreviate that. I don't just want to put, you know, should we just put rap music? Like, would that offend some students that we've singled out rap music as opposed to others? Should we put violent behavior?
How about association between music and violent behavior?
That could work.
Yes, you see, I'm not sure rap has to be entirely capitalized. That's a very, very minor nitpicky point, but that's...
It looked funny all lowercase.
It did. Just really emphasizing rap music.
Like, italicize it or something to make it stand out.
Although then, you know, I think you... I don't know, I'm not sure they would understand. You know, you could imply there's a connection between classical music and violent behavior. Would they understand necessarily that you mean rap slash hip-hop music?
So you just have, like, rap music encourages violent behavior?
Maybe lyrics. Maybe that...
There actually is a type of music. I don't know if it's rap or what it is, but... Oh, I was actually just reading a survey about this where there's a murder case linked to this particular type of underground music that is incredibly violent. Like, the lyrics are very explicit.
Death metal or something?
How you would kill someone. I don't even think it's death metal. Like, it's something more severe than that. It's a totally underground, very extreme thing, and there recently was, like, a quadruple homicide that's being connected back to this music, or they're trying to.
So, yeah, maybe we want to just... You know, lyric content and violent behavior. That way we're not singling out a genre of music.
Yeah. So violent musical, violent song lyrics can encourage violent behavior. And maybe I'll go ahead and add. So I have violent video games can encourage violent behavior on 13, and violent song lyrics can encourage violent behavior on 14.
Yeah.
So we should update the one up above, listening to music with violent lyrics encourages violent behavior?
Yeah, I can do that.
And I don't know if it matters, but 24 and 25 are identical legal drinking age. Oh, legal driving age, legal drinking age. Never mind.
I knew someone else would do that too when I was teaching them. I think that's where maybe changing the order might come in handy. I tried to, it's more or less a one-to-one correspondence, but it's not perfect. I did actually add in a point about healthcare explicitly, and then there were two questions about, I think, legal driving age, and I just made it one topic. But other than that, it's more or less a one-to-one correspondence.
Okay, and then, okay, I'm going to pull a Lee and somewhat be somewhat picky here.
Hey. Oh, no, that's fine. I'm looking for picky.
No, number 29, and this is going to sound really, really stupid. Is there something bad about having a don't? Is it because it will students... It's a whole the do not being explicit to myself that bothers me. I usually, you know, like, bold the word not in student exams and stuff a lot because I always miss it. And so do you think that's an issue to have, like, the contraction in there?
Oh, I see what you're saying. We can just really change. That is an easy fix. That's something I'm trying to be more conscious of is using less contractions, especially in something that's professional.
I still think they would feel very strongly about the topic if we had, I think that airlines should charge for luggage that exceeds the weight limit. So I don't know if we needed the word or if we were, there's a reason we chose that side particularly.
That's a good question, and I don't think it'll matter. I think it'll just, right now, the way it's worded, I would imagine getting more strongly agrees, whereas if we got rid of the not... I would imagine getting more strongly disagrees. But I think we would still be eliciting the strong opinions. I don't think it matters at all.
Okay.
Any votes for whether it's positively worded or negatively worded?
I I mean, it didn't matter to me. I just thought, you know, if we lost the word not, then we wouldn't have to worry about if they read the word not. And, like, even they just took out the whole do not. So I think that airlines should charge.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if anyone else had had issues with question wording like that.
I'm fine erasing it, and I don't think it can hurt the scale at all. It will still elicit a strong reaction one way or another if there is one to be had. And to some extent, wording some where we would expect agree and some where we would expect disagree is a way to see if they're paying attention to the survey or if they're just going through and circling the same thing all the way down.
True.
So, like, having positive and negative wording can actually be a good thing. And that's something that maybe we can refine a little farther once the IRB, or maybe the IRB can look at that. So.
Do we want a scale of 6 for the bottom one?
I think, I mean, it's technically a 7-point scale starting at 0, right?
Yeah. I think we can have as many numbers as we want. I kind of like the 2 in-between options. Because it still gets them to lean a little bit more one way or the other. But I've seen it a lot of times where there's only one in-between option. So, I don't know. That's the type of thing we can just ask the IRB to comment on, is just the scales in general, too.
So, Hurley, you're going to be in charge of sending the email to the REM?
Yes.
And so you'll make sure we all get to see it, too, so we know what you told them?
No, why would I?
Just so we kind of know what they, that way hopefully when they respond, we all get to see their responses that way, too.
Yeah, I will. Yes, I will send it to everyone else. Sorry, just doing totally pointless formatting right now.
You're one of those anal people, aren't you?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
For number 33 on the second list?
Yes.
Could that be food irradiation?
Okay, so here's the thing. I didn't actually know what irradiation meant, and so I was going with Felicity's wording about organic foods.
Okay.
But I can change that. Food. Ooh. Having problems with the last option. Food. So I'm pulling out the word radiation in that. But, yeah, I wasn't really sure actually what that meant, just to be completely ignorant. So what does irradiation mean?
You're actually using rays, gamma rays, beta rays, alpha rays. I don't remember what it is anymore. But you actually put the food through the can be gamma, it must be beta rays, and it kills all of the harmful bacteria. But people see that their food's irradiated, and it tends to evoke strong responses because they associate radiation with negative health effects.
Mm-hmm.
They don't associate it with any of the positive effects.
Right.
So it's just you're actually physically using radiation to kill the bacteria. And it doesn't leave anything in the food. I mean, people aren't ingesting radiation, but.
Yeah, because until you explained that for number 33, I would have selected that I am not familiar with this topic. So I would not have known what that meant either.
Well, one thing we could do is we could say using radiation on food.
Or we could just do organic foods.
We could add 2, because that would be, I mean, that's actually kind of an interesting example, because that might be a real easy place to find something where results conflict with preconceived notions. where they have this preconceived notion of, oh, it's bad, but we could find a study saying, hey, it's no worse for you and it actually kills all this bacteria. And they might just be like, well, no, clearly that must be wrong. You know, like that might actually be a good example. But I do wonder if what Jackie's saying is true, that they'll mark, I don't know, but then once it's explained to them, they would have a strong opinion one way or another.
Okay, well, let me see. I don't remember exactly what the rays are that they're using, and that's going to bother me because I don't want it to be wrong. Sorry, that's what's cracking me up. Oh, it doesn't say. Well, that sucks.
All right, so now I'll just say using radiation on food. If I could spell the word radiation. There we go.
Yeah, it was a big thing in the early 90s when I did my undergrad curriculum. We talked a lot about irradiating food. That's something I think about as often anymore. But yeah, we're using radiation on food. It's ionizing radiation. So it's short wavelengths. But
all right. So do you guys think these two lists are good to send to the RAB members? And to ask them which version they think is more appropriate.
Yeah, definitely. So I think we've almost been staring at these things long enough, too, that they're not going to change all that much. And getting a fresh set of eyes, I think, would be good, too.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, I am going to need to get going because I'm supposed to be meeting with a candidate soon, and I want to take a little bit of a break before I do that. But I will work on composing an email to the RAB and send it out to them. And the one thing is I'm not sure I was keeping careful track of what we settled on for dates. We said we could do next week. That was one possibility, right?
So we're going to leave that one open in case we needed it.
Right. And then another possibility was April 13th one?
Mm-hmm. At 4.
And then April 8th?
At 3.
Were there other ones that I missed?
No, those were the only ones we listed.
All right.
I think we want them to decide between that Tuesday and that Thursday, the 13th and the 8th, where we'd only talk on the 25th if we needed to.
All right.
Like, we don't want them to vote for the 25th. That's just going to be an optional one.
Okay. That sounds really good. All right, I'll work on that and try and get it sent out either today or tomorrow.
All right.
Thanks, Carla.
No problem. And Jackie, do you want me to have Jean email you the link with the recording from this call?
Just to be safe, again, I mean, I probably won't have a lot of notes for it since most of it was on there, but that way, in case I did misunderstand something, I got it.
All right, that sounds good. I will do that. All right, have a great day, everyone.
You too, everyone.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
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 Thank you. Please stand by.